May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. In our story today, we heard about how Herod, in anger, sent a decree that all children, all boys, under the age of 2, in and surrounding Bethlehem, should be killed. And this was because he was looking to destroy the Lord in his infancy, because he was afraid that the Lord would replace him as king. But because he did not know where the Lord was, he decided to kill all the sons under the age of 2. Worth knowing about this heinous evil is that at the time it was not uncommon. The Roman Empire, whom Herod served, did not chastise him for this and practiced such evil acts all the time. Evil was common in that day. And evil continues to be common today. Such evil acts are not unheard of, and the Lord knows they will happen. Remember that this evil is prophesied by the Lord 700 years before in the prophecies of Jeremiah. The Lord is still in charge, even during these times of evil. We heard in Heaven and Hell how the Lord protects children, not just by bringing them directly under his auspices in heaven, but because they are imbued with innocence and evil cannot take root in them. This is true not just of children in heaven, but of all children. All children have this. And children have this state for a very important reason, because we all need this beginning. We all need this state of innocence in which the truth of faith and the good of love can be implanted. Christmas is a wonderful time because these states of innocence that we are all given as innocent children can be reawakened by the stirrings of Christmas traditions, hearing the word, hearing the Christmas story again and again. We can be revisited with these states. So one must ask, why in this wonderful time and in this wonderful story must there be a Herod? One way to look at it is not to ask yourself, why is there evil? But to ask instead, why is there good? Evil is the natural state of the universe, and of the natural universe, and of humanity. For thousands of years, people have been born inclined to evils of every kind. And without the Lord, we would continue to do evil. It is evil that is the natural state. And the question should be, how is it possible that the Lord can bring good in the presence of such evil? We heard in the prophecy of Jeremiah, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her sons, because they are no more. At the time of this prophecy, Jeremiah was speaking to the children of Israel about the fall of Israel and the coming fall of Jerusalem, and that the children of Israel would be scattered across the world to never be seen again, except for the tribe of Judah, which would be in captivity. That's the lamentation that Jeremiah is predicting himself. But he's also predicting the fall of the entire Jewish church, the decline into darkness that will proceed, that will come over the next 700 years. But the prophecy does not end with that lamentation. Keep thy voice from weeping, and thine ears from tears, for there shall be a reward for thy work, says the Lord. And they shall return from the land of the enemy. There is hope for the end, says the Lord, and sons shall return to their country. Jeremiah is telling the people that even though Babylon will conquer your land and take all of your sons to her city, sons like Daniel and Ezekiel and other young men who grow up in Babylon, the children of Israel will return to Judea. That's the historical perspective on that prophecy. Similarly, we can hear that the Lord, even though his church on earth, the Jewish church, will fall into darkness and captivity of the Romans, and in captivity to mere externals, the Lord will rise them up again, which is the coming of the Lord and a new church from it. Those sons are the remnants of the children of Israel, what remains of the Lord's covenant with Israel. Similarly, they represent the remnants or the remains of the Lord with us. Those innocent things that the Lord has planted in us, states of innocence that are receptive to the truth of faith and the good of love, that we might be reawakened in our darkness. Herod represents a certain kind of evil spirit who hates nothing more than to destroy innocence. They love the destruction of children. They are evil. But note that Herod is not looking to destroy the children of Bethlehem. Herod is looking to destroy the Lord. Herod is looking to destroy Christmas. And Herod, as Herod always has and always will, fails. Herod is an evil spirit who thinks that by destroying all good things of innocence that he can see, that he will prevent the Lord from taking charge. But the Lord is already in charge. Children go to heaven. Similarly, our states, even if put down and destroyed, seemingly, the Lord can always bring us back if we give him the opportunity. Something else remarkable is that people who choose evil and choose to go to hell, even the good and truth that is with them is put aside and protected, returning under the Lord's auspices, protected from the evil person that carries them. The Lord is always in charge. Herod does not work alone. And it is worth knowing and reflecting that the evil of Herod is not an evil spirit that comes from outside, out of nowhere. Herod is the king of the Jews. The one who is doing this evil to the people of Ramah is from them. Similarly with us, those evil spirits that look to destroy the innocents with us cannot work alone. We all have an aspect of Herod with us. We are born inclined to evils of every kind. And that without the Lord, that is the kind of evil we would have. It is so easy to look down on the innocence and peace and childishness of Christmas, to think that as adults, we are above that. Such silly children, we might think. That's Herod within, being stirred by a Herod from without. And we should shun it. Listen to the command that the Lord gave Joseph. Take the young child and his mother and go to Egypt. Egypt represents merely external knowledges, but knowledges about the word. And it's interesting to think that in order to protect this most precious gift from the Lord, this innocence that we all have within us, that we should return to something seemingly external like Egypt. But think about the most precious externals of Christmas. Going to church, reading the word, singing songs. These externals that we get from the word can strengthen us and can protect the Lord with us. That's where our states of innocence can be rekindled, can be protected, and given strength. Herod will come. Generation upon generation will be born anew into evils of every kind. We will never be without such evil. But we can be confident that the Lord protects children and can protect us. And that though Herod would like you and all of us to have that wonder of Christmas destroyed, we don't need to let him do it. We can run to Egypt. We can return to the Word and the Lord. Keep thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for there shall be a reward for thy work, says the Lord, and they shall return from the land of the enemy. Amen. And now to the one God of heaven and earth, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.